let me go back to this. Each time we throw them back, the artillery was bad because it was coming in and we were getting casualties more from the artillery. And that was the coast artillery, right? The
German and also getting hit by both ways.
We went out on patrols every day trying to get through to get ammunition because ammunition was starting to run low. I went out on two patrols one day and we went down through the farmhouses, behind the farmhouses, through the brush until we got to the swamps by the Morteray River. The Morteray or the Dove. The Dove is another river.
Rivers. Okay. I don't even know which one was which. That's those up there.
Uh-huh.
I still don't know okay. which was which.
At the time, I didn't know which one it was. There were 12 of us. We waded out into the water. The parachutes with the colors we knew were supplies, supply chutes. So we waded out and we started to drag them in, and the water was in some places 3 feet deep. Some places it was just almost over your head.
One of the slimy.
One of the chutes that we dragged in, it had a body on it.
How tangled up, yep.
How the hell it got tangled up with another chute? He evidently had been shot in the air and landed in the water. The next thing we know, just going back to that jump, what went through your mind as you were going down? Do you recall?
Get to the ground. Get to the ground.
Uh-huh.
That's all. It's only, I think it was 750 feet.
Uh-huh.
That's very quick. You go the first 75 feet, your chute opens up, and then you're coming down pretty fast.
Now, when you say very
seems
quick.
Like forever, but it's very fast.
About how total time, what, about a minute?
Jesus, I don't know. A minute, 2 minutes maybe, uh-huh. maximum.
And what did you see? Did you see the other?
All I could see down below. I'm looking down below what was there, and it was dark. All I could see eventually, the formation of trees and stuff as I'm coming down. And I'm looking for a clearing, but then the rattle through the parachute, but the bullets were flying up, and as they're going through the parachute, they leave a crackling sound. So I hear that crackling sound, that's when I start to collapse my chute. I figure, get on the ground. It's only, like I say, it's a minute. But that minute is at 20 minutes, you know what I mean? And I just, like a wild man, I climbed up the chute to collapse it, to go fast down, get down the ground. And I pivoted what seemed to be coming from this way to firing, so I pivoted and I tried to go this way with the chute. And I went into the hedgerows, through the hedgerow, and then down to where I just about could touch the ground. And I start cutting the turret, the risers to get down on the ground. And the worst part, we had our rifles inside of a packet. It's the most stupid thing. I don't know who the hell devised this idea. See, you got generals. Generals don't do any fighting. They don't understand. They understand a lot of other things, their logistics and everything. When it comes down to the actual fighting, I don't think any of these, 90% of these generals ever even saw an enemy. So they had us put the inside of a, like a gun case.
Uh-huh.
And strapped over the thing. Now we had to take that gun out. And by the time you untangled everything, you landed right among Germans, you were dead.
Sure.
Fortunately, there were, you know, distance wherever they were. But you finally get the gun out, throw all the stuff away, the mine, the May West, all the Germans. You say, what the hell they need this stuff for? Even the gas mask. I said, if they use gas, I'm going to die from gas. If I carry this thing with me, it's going to get me killed anyway because you can't get through the brush. So,
you said that the plane was hit after you left out?
Yeah, the plane was hit after I went down.
Did you see it or did you hear that?
No, a big burst of flames. And besides that, the guys that were in the back stick, a lot of them, they were missing. So that went down. And then we found there was another plane we found later on that hit the ground. And there were charred bodies all over the place. You know. In Holland, there were a lot of gliders. Upside down, you know, when they came in later on. In fact, I crawled under one, during an artillery attack, I crawled under one of the gliders. And it got hit, and the thing caved in, and I dug like a dog underneath, you know, to get, because they have a armor plate on the bottom part. And I dug in underneath, and then when it got hit, it was at an angle. Well, the wing got hit, and the wing was gone, and the thing had fallen down another 6-8 inches. So the space I dug in, I was squeezed in. I had to dig my way back the hell out.
And were the bodies still in it or around it?
No, that glider was just landed and was damaged, you know, laying on one side. And the troops took off. But then during this artillery shell, we had gotten a prisoner, and we were taking him back. We had gone out, supposedly on a patrol. That's another story, see, I got to go through the whole thing of Holland.
That's okay.
We knocked out a German tank. They had come up in a night attack, came right up along the line. I had, it was Lieutenant Gleim, myself, and I think it was Patchell. And we had gone out on a patrol to try to see if we could waylay a German patrol and get a prisoner. So we went down through D Company. And now here's a story, and I guess this goes into something else. So we went down, and we got down there about 10 o'clock. There was like as light as this. Big moon was out, it was bright as can be. So he said, no, we're not going out until wait for some cloud cover. And we waited about 1 o'clock. We were ready to give up. All of a sudden, we started getting artillery shells. They start coming in. Overhead, they were hitting in the back. Next thing we know, tanks had come up. There's a night attack. Being it was moonlit night, I guess they decided to make an armored attack. Tank came right up alongside the hedgerow. Right? And I had just got up to the hedgerow earlier, 10, 11 o'clock, and I got into a foxhole, dug into the bank. And the guy says, who are you? I said, I'm Eddie Boca Frogley. Oh, he says, it's me, McCullough. So we had gone to parachute school, but he got into a different company. McClure. So we're talking anyway. So then, when the attack came, next thing you know, the German tank had pulled right alongside. See this big barrel and the muzzle brake from here to the front of the house there, way over to the other side of the hedgerow. He's laying out a smoke screen. He's yelling for the bazooka. The bazooka man, we couldn't find him, right? I'm trying to think of his name now. This from the other company. He wrote the story too. Now, Patchell was the one that fired the bazooka. He tripped over the bazooka. The bazooka man didn't know where his bazooka was. Tripped over the bazooka, looking around for the rounds, found the rounds, somebody put the rounds in, and he crawled up on the hedgerow and he fired into the rear part of the tank. First shot. Second shot, he hit it again, the thing caught fire. The barrel went down, and then fired, boom, along the hedge, and killed a couple of men. We found out the next day.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't know what happened, but fired along the hedge. Tank caught fire, and the Germans got out. Somebody killed the first one as he come out. Second one, we're yelling. We took him as prisoner. We didn't have to go out and wait. Uh-huh. We got our prisoner. So we took our prisoner, and we headed back.
What about the rest of the crew? They were
the thing burned, exploded. Uh-huh. All the shells inside were exploding.
So only the first two?
The first two got out.
And the others
did? One was killed and the other one took prisoner, and then the thing started to explode. Because that fire inside, eventually the shells, started to explode. In fact, everybody had to get away from there. Before we pulled out, they all got away from their holes because the heat was unbelievable, plus the explosion. That night, there was two other tanks knocked out, further down. They used phosphorus shells on C Company's position. And a lot of guys got burned, you know, with that stuff. But they knocked the tanks out, and then the rest of the night from what, because we had gone, but then we later heard later on that the German tank retrievers came to pull their tanks back, you know, damaged tanks. Whether they ever got that one, I don't know. So anyway, I pull back. We go up, we turn the prisoner over, go back to our unit, and we accomplished our mission. So I wrote, I gave the story to Burroughs, the book. Patchell was the one that fired that, it's the same guy that lost his eyesight in yes. closed later on. This was in Holland. So what happened? I think, what's his name? Jesus. He wrote a story. Same thing, and he says he found the bazooka, and he fired the shot and knocked out the tank. And he got the Silver Star for it. Because what happened, we figured it out after. The next day, they naturally offered to come over, uh-huh. what happened, so on and so forth. Well, the tank got there, who fired the thing? What the hell's his name?
Who?
And oh, Jesus. Can't think of his name. So I confronted him last week. Uh-huh. And I went over and says, remember your story about the tank? I says, who fired that bazooka that night? He turned white. I says, you know, everybody was yelling, they couldn't find a bazooka. That was Patchell found the bazooka. I let him know that. He put that into the book. And he got the Silver Star. It was then when they inquired who did it for. Well,
uh-huh.
so-and-so. Well, then, Jesus Christ, you know, later on he was put in for a Silver Star. You follow me?
I think,
can get screwed up.
Uh-huh.
But sooner or later, lies, they show up.
Yes.
You say one thing one day, the next day somebody's going to contradict it and they're going to find out that you
uh-huh.
misrepresented. That's why I don't like to say, embellish anything, say,
sure.
Oh, I see two Germans over there. Three, I shot them.
Uh-huh.
Come on. They're going to stay there waiting for me to shoot them? I'd have been dead six times already.